I really appreciate the privilege to be here and the opportunity to share with you what I have felt. David actually gave me a substantial amount of time this time. I think I had like 3 or 4 weeks that he asked me if I would preach today. So I was really impressed. But just like everything else, you know, when I started studying, well, a little bit before that, yesterday afternoon. I mean, give me a break. No, I'm kidding. I've been thinking about it, been trying to come upon a subject, I think, as we all do. First of all, I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to say thank you to the scattered members and the streamers that have taken the time to tune in this Sunday morning. And I honestly do, as David prayed, pray that I can offer something of value to you folks, those on the streaming and those folks that are sitting here. My prayer is always that I can be used as an instrument, even as the brothers of the Sons of Mosiah did, as they prepared themselves and sought after those opportunities. You know, there was a tremendous effort that those guys made. But before I say that, I want to tell you about an experience. One time, a long time ago, I was asked to preach out in Colorado at the reunion. And Kim and Jim were there. And, of course, they brought Haley before Kate was born or anything. Well, maybe Chase was born. I don't remember. But anyway, you know, any papa is going to call on his grandkids, you know. So anyway, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about, you know, a parent would not give stone to his children to eat. So I was using that as one of my examples. So I asked Haley if I could use her during the service. Oh, yes, Papa, yes. She was probably 4, 5 years old, something like that. She was cuter than a three-legged bug's ear. Of course, she would have been anyway, but, you know, she really was. So anyway, I got this sack, and I put some objects in the sack. And the scripture says, would he give them a stone when they have asked for? So I said, Haley, you can have any candy that you find in this sack. Of course, Haley, she just walked right up there, no reservations, no apprehension, no second thought. She trusted me because I was her papa. And so anyway, I had this little grocery sack, and I went down in front, met her down in front of the pulpit there, and I said, now, sweetheart, you can have anything in this sack. In fact, I said, you have been such a good girl, you can have 2 of anything in the sack, so be sure you grab at least 2 items. You can have whatever's in the sack, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how expensive they are, you take 2 of whatever you want. She pulled out 2 stones. I've never been so brokenhearted in all my life. As I looked down in her face and saw the expression on her face, at 4 or 5 years old, she did not comprehend the example. And obviously, I tried to make up for it afterwards, but just wasn't the same. But I'll never forget the honest look of despair and disappointment that was on her face. So anyway, when I was thinking of that, I got to thinking, when you come to this service, and when the folks on the streaming come to this service, and they see me here behind the pulpit, what are your expectations? Now, I know if I called on somebody, they would say, to learn of God, and that would be appropriate. Others would say, I want to glorify God. And that would be appropriate. But folks, the purpose of this next 30, 45, 50 minutes is to glorify His name. How? Does anybody want to share with me what your thoughts are? How do we glorify God by being here this morning? How do we glorify God by tuning in on the streaming? What is it? What necessary effort must you make? I have to study. I have to make preparation. What do you have to do? You come here with what? Anybody want to share? Yes. Well, now they don't think that they have that much of a problem with me because of my voice. And because I normally will call on you if you do go to sleep, Diane. So notice that was Diane Hedrick that said that. You must want to grow. You must want to take in the Word of God. You must want to trust that God is greater and bigger than any minister that sits in this congregation. And when we stand behind this pulpit, that our goal will be to share with you that enticement, that marvelous point that pricks your mind and calls you to what? To action. I found a scripture in the Bible. You probably won't believe it. Or in the Book of Mormon. I found a scripture in the Book of Mormon this morning. And I don't think anybody has ever read that scripture from behind the pulpit. I believe that or not, as many preaching services as we've all attended, I don't think anybody has ever read these few verses and put them together. Okay? I was amazed. It just blew me out of the saddle. I don't know why they're so obvious. I don't know why nobody has ever used these scriptures. Not even as young as Glenn is. I don't think he's ever referenced these scriptures. Mosiah 2, and I'm going to start reading at the 12th verse. Are you smiling? You think you've heard those before? Never, nobody has ever read these before. And there is none other salvation save this which hath spoken of, neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God, believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. You ever heard that before? No. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. Y'all ever heard these verses before? Absolutely. You've heard them hundreds of times. You've read them yourself. Many times. There's nothing new in the scriptures. Nobody, not even Superman, can come up here and find something new that is true in the Word of God. I'll give you an example. This morning, I went in to get my sports jacket, and I've got three sports jackets, I think, right? One is kind of a greenish color. One is blue, which I have on now, and one is black. And the black and the blue were right together. I could not tell which was the blue and which was the black in the closet. I looked at the name tag. I looked at the inside pockets. I couldn't tell. I've worn my blue jacket. Jennifer used to call it the salesman's uniform. My blue jacket with tans or with gray slacks. I've worn it. Well, I hate to admit that it's that old, but I've worn it a number of times. I couldn't tell it from my black jacket. And I just had eye surgery this past week. And I'm doing real, real good as compared to what I had done. So anyway, I took those both of those jackets out and I put them in the window underneath. We have these blinds in the bedroom, and there's about this much opening in the bottom. And I put them both in the sunlight. And it was immediate what color it was. I could see without reservation the color, the blue and the black. God has promised that his truth is consistent, is always present. In the Book of Mormon, he says there are no crooked paths that God follows. He says that he does not change one day to the next. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God the Father is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is consistent. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. So I guess I'm wrong. I guess the scripture has been read a number of times from this pulpit and many other pulpits. So the question becomes, are we doing it? Now, I can't tell you whether you are or not. It would be inappropriate for me to tell you that. But it is a very appropriate question for us to ask ourselves, are we performing the instructions of God? Believe in God. Everybody here believes in God, don't you? Sure. We all believe that there is this great power. And this great power with his Son, who created all things. We believe that, don't we? We believe that God and his Son, Jesus Christ, has all the wisdom, don't we? Sure we do. We trust that. We know that. We seek that. We desire it, that we may partake of that wisdom and that we might be led to that ultimate goal of success, that blessing that everyone seeks, success. Not success in ourselves, but success in Christ, in God, in glorifying his name. That is a common mutual desire amongst us, isn't it? If you look at me long enough, you'll know that all men do not comprehend all things. We have lackings. We have weaknesses. We have turmoil within our hearts. We have misgivings. We have questions. We have goals, and we have hopes. And sometimes we have jealousies, and sometimes we have pride. Yep. The one thing that I've never heard anyone talk against is the fact that we believe that man must repent of his sins and his shortcomings. We believe that, don't we? Sure we do. That's an intricate part of the atonement that Jesus Christ himself brought to this earth. That was his assignment, to atone for the sins, to bring us back in to the presence of our God. God expelled mankind. Those kids this morning, they nailed it. They said Adam and Eve were the first, and the original sin was created, was performed, was committed, and judgment was passed. And they were expelled from the garden. Why? Can anyone tell me why the judgment of Adam and Eve and the snake was to be expelled from the garden? Go ahead, jump up. Raise your hand. Tell me why. Couldn't partake of the tree of life. Okay. What else? What other reason did man and the snake have to be expelled?
Disobedience.
Okay. But why was the judgment so extreme is the question that I'm asking. Why were they pushed out? Why were the guards, the swords, the cherubims, why were they placed at the east gate not to allow man back in to the Garden of Eden? Why was that? Now, the answers that have been given are good ones. They're very, very true. But there was a specific reason that they had to be expelled, and that was a dramatic ruling, I think, because they were expelled not only from the garden, but what else? From the presence of God. They no longer could be within the very presence of God. And why is that? It's because God tells us that he cannot dwell in what? That's right. So if we are guilty of sin, and if in fact God tells us in the Book of Mormon that God cannot look upon sin, any sin, with the least degree of allowance, are we in proper condition to receive the Holy Spirit of God in our midst? Go to Alma 16:235. Alma 16, the 235th verse. It's just one verse. I'll read it to you. And this I know, because the Lord has said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell. Have we come to that degree of righteousness that we can facilitate God always? I don't know. I know that the plan of salvation, the atonement of Jesus Christ, gives you and I an opportunity to be cleansed totally and to be brought back into the presence of Christ. No, I said that wrong. What should I have said? Back into the presence of God. That's Jesus Christ's commission, is to cleanse you and I, to help us find that degree of humility and sincerity and obedience, like our brother said a while ago, in such a state that we can return to the presence of God. And no man, it says in the scriptures, no man can come unto heaven, the kingdom of heaven, if he is not fully cleansed. You know, the days when we were younger and we'd say, well, God's not going to send me down to Hades just because I say a naughty word. But according to God's teachings, we cannot be in his presence if our cloak has dirt upon it. According to the 12th chapter of Luke, the 48th and 49th verses, it says, unto whomsoever much is given, much is required. And you've all heard me use that example before. And I believe if we have this much knowledge, that's what we're responsible for. If we only have this much knowledge, that's what we're responsible for. And because Jesus Christ is a just and loving judge. Now think of those words. He says it in the Book of Mormon. He says it in the Bible. Both. That Jesus Christ is a just and loving judge. It doesn't matter if we know this much or if we know this much. If we are fulfilling the commitments and our abilities to perform and act and serve our God, we are successful. But it's because Jesus Christ brings us into that realm. He cleanses us by dying on the cross. But it is not guaranteed that our sins will be forgiven us. We are guaranteed only eternal life. To have our sins forgiven us, we must ask him, and we must repent. We must be forgiven of those sins. It is not an automatic. It is automatic if we ask. But we must ask with what? Absolutely, Darren. Absolutely. If we go to Acts, that's what it was. And I even marked it. How about that? No, I didn't. It's the wrong place. We go to Acts, the 10th chapter, and I'm going to read the 34th and probably read two or three verses. Listen to this. This is what makes you and I every bit intricately important to our God, as Moses, as David, as Abraham, as Isaac, or anyone else. We are on equal footing with our God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say unto you, ye know, which was published throughout all Judah, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. That whole thing, that whole scripture that I just read you, I think, dwells on that one leg, the last three or four words of that verse. For God was with him. You know, you think about the sons of Mosiah I spoke about earlier. The sons of Mosiah could have been kings. In fact, the father asked the people when he was about ready to retire. He said, who do you want to be your king? He said, well, your son. So he went to his son, and his son said, no, I want to go serve the Lamanites. I want to serve God, as did his other sons. Mosiah was an exceptionally intelligent man, though. Really, think about it. He came back to the people, and he said, what do you want? My son doesn't want this job. Well, we want one of your other sons. He says, no, I can't do that. Well, we want so-and-so. He says, no, I can't do that either. Well, if you ain't going to take our suggestions, why ask? He said, because if my first son, who is due the kingdom and to reign as your king, if he goes off and serves God and then at some point in time decides he wants to be king and returns, he has a right to that. But what will he create by doing so? Confusion and the shedding of blood. He had enough moxie. He had enough love for his people. He had enough communion with his God that he was able to see into that terrible catch-22. He said, no, what we're going to do, we're going to have judges. And he said the important part, because if a judge missteps, he can be removed. Even a higher judge, if he missteps, he can be removed by a group of lower judges. By the voice of the people, because he says the voice of the people will not normally lead us astray. Normally. And if they do, he will correct them. How is the Church of Christ established? Very same pattern. Very same pattern. How is the government of the United States originally established? Very same pattern. Very same pattern. Must have been wisdom in Mosiah. Must have been. God must have been working with him very, very, very closely. Well, what was that original question I asked you all when I stood up here? What? No, that was a good point. That was one of the questions. But the question I ask is, what really is the purpose that you came to attend this Sunday service. I've preached here so many times, you know all my jokes. All two of them. So it can't be that. We do come to glorify God. That is our mission. But how do we glorify God? Through our obedience, as one brother said, to the Word of God in its simplicity, in its totality, in its absoluteness. The atoning grace of Jesus Christ has brought us to this service today. Because the atoning grace of Jesus Christ is the offering of that forgiveness, of that repentant state, of that joy that embraces our heart. Last night at the Mike and Belinda's hayride, talking to Trevor, Trevor said, you know, I think it was Friday, he had over 60 people in the visitor center downstairs. Now, that's not abnormal, because he says he's had busloads come in that were that or bigger, but he noted these were not busloads. These were 60 people. Did I understand that correctly? That ain't bad, because you see, God says the greatest gift that we can give him is what? One soul. And to potentially have 60 people is marvelous. That's a work. We ought to be thankful. Our brother sitting up here, and his experience he's had over the last 2 or 3 years, is that right? That's a pretty big blessing, guys. That is miraculous. If for some reason, heaven forbid, if he were to die day after tomorrow, it would still be a marvelous blessing that you and I have received. Our brother Dan has been sick the last few days. But Dan's experience that he had with that organ was no less marvelous, even though he's been sick. The very experience that our sister came to him at a prayer meeting, I think Manon said, and said, if you need an organ, I want to be the donator. And then she was a perfect, perfect match. That experience cannot be lessened. Nora Gould had a massive automobile accident. The way I understand it, that night, of course, Darren was there, I think, to administer to her. Was that right, Darren? Okay, blew that. Somebody was there to administer to her. They didn't think she was going to make it. It was a massive, massive accident. But she did make it, and she made it. As far as time was concerned, so much quicker than any physician could have imagined. Brothers and sisters, we are blessed, is my point. We can deny it. We can say, boy, we don't have miracles like we used to. But you're really wrong when you say that. We are so blessed. It is abundantly blessed. The fact that we can come to a God who has dispatched his Son is a miracle. that plan of salvation, that atoning grace that Jesus Christ, the fact, the authority that he was given to forgive us of our sins. Is magnificent. Can you think of a better gift? I don't think so.
I want you to do me a favor.
Turn to page 283 in the songbook. I'm sorry, 283. Can you turn this mic off, Dan? Steve asked us last week to remember the purpose for which we have come to the communion service. I would like to ask the same. I would like to ask you to sing this song with me, Acapulco, and sing it understanding the words that you're saying. Would you? Okay, does somebody want to start that for us, Manon?
Okay, thank you, Brother Bob.